Hello and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. I'm your host, Royden Sarejo, and today we will be discussing the Vivo X90 Pro. We've had the chance to review this phone pretty early on before the launch, and the review is actually live right now on gadgets360.com, so you can check it out if you want the detailed text review on the website. But we're here to sort of condense that review and tell you some of the good things, some of the things we found that could have been better, and overall, if you should be considering this phone in 2023 or not. So to do this, we have the amazing Pranav Hegde, who's actually reviewed the phone. Welcome, Pranav.
Hello.
Ha. So I know you've had a pretty crazy, hectic week this week so far, and even the previous week. But anyway, I'm glad that you were able to wrap up the review in time. Now, before we go ahead and discuss anything about the X90 Pro, I think we should just give this sort of a overview of what this phone is and where it sits in the lineup and how it compares to Vivo's previous phone, which launched last year, because it is a bit of a confusing mess, as Vivo loves to mess around with their naming schemes of the X series time and time again. So this year, let's start off with what was announced in China earlier this year. The X90 series was launched in China, where we had the X90, the X90 Pro, and the X90 Pro Plus. Now, if you remember last year, there was the X80 series, but there was no Plus model. We only had the X80 and the X80 Pro, where basically the X80 Pro replaced the previous generation's X70 Pro Plus. So basically there was a 70 Pro Plus, then they dropped that last year and that became the X80 Pro, took its place. And this year, once again, we have a Pro Plus, but the twist is that that model is only exclusive to China, reportedly, as of now. And Vivo doesn't seem to have any plans to launch a global version of that. So for all intents and purposes, the Vivo X90 Pro in India replaces the X80 Pro, because we don't have a Pro Plus anywhere in the world except for China. So I think with that out of the way, I think which I'm hoping should paint a little clearer picture of where the X90 Pro stands. Let's take it away, Pranav. First of all, let's start off maybe with the pricing, what variants you get, colors, etc., and then we can dive into the other things.
Yeah, so again, just like Royden mentioned, the X90 Pro is currently the top-end Vivo smart flagship offering in India. It sits above the vanilla X90, which is way cheaper. The X90 Pro comes in a single 12GB plus 256GB storage option. It's priced at $84,999. In comparison, the X80 Pro, which it replaces here in India, that was launched for ₹79,999.
Yeah, and it's still at that price. I checked yesterday on Flipkart. Yeah.
But you never know. Vivo might just suddenly, like, silently drop the price by a few thousand rupees.
They could, especially to make a bigger gap between these two phones.
Correct. And then if you want to know about the X90, that one is available in two storage options, 8GB plus 256GB and 12GB plus 256GB. The base model with 8GB is priced at $59,999, and the 12GB variant is priced at $63,999. So there's a huge gap in terms of pricing, which further sort of, I am assuming, the company will bring down the X80 Pro's price just to ensure that there is something in between in case someone wants to buy a Vivo flagship.
True. And there's only one finish or color of the Pro, right? X90 Pro.
Correct. The X90 Pro comes with this vegan leather materials on the back, something which we saw in the X70 Pro Plus as well. The X80 Pro came with a glass back.
Right.
And the same glass materials are used in the vanilla X90. So again, it can get a bit confusing if you look at it. But then vegan leather is sort of used to give the phone a different look and feel. It doesn't feel any cheap. It's as good as glass when it comes to feel.
Yeah.
And also, it sort of looks different in the market. And one less thing to worry about is when the phone drops, if it drops, that is, chances are that the rear panel, you don't have to worry about the rear panel
anything
cracking.
Shattering or anything.
Yeah. So that's a plus. But then moving on to how the phone is in general, again, it's slightly different in terms of design compared to the X80 Pro. There's no island this time around. In fact, there's only one massive circular camera module on the back. It also does not have a periscope lens that the X80 Pro came with. So the X90 Pro has a triple camera setup. The improvements this time around are that you get a 1-inch type sensor, a Sony IMX989 sensor, which we've also seen in the Xiaomi 13 Pro and in some other phones available internationally.
Right.
You also get a 50 megapixel Sony IMX758 portrait lens, which the company also calls a portrait telephoto lens at times. But that's the other upgrade. The ultra-wide camera though, it's down from 48 megapixel to 12 megapixel. And it's a Sony IMX663 sensor. So this is what you get in terms of camera. And I started with the camera because the X series, Vivo X series, is primarily known for its camera supremacy in general. Over the years, the company sort of created this reputation wherein users can rely and get absolute best camera performance from a Vivo X series flagship.
Yeah, and I think their gimbal tech is what they've always been talking about in the X series.
Yeah, but this time around, because you have a 1-inch sensor, the company said that it's not possible to introduce the gimbal, rather carry forward the gimbal tech.
Yeah, without, I mean, making the phone thicker, I'm guessing.
Correct. So it's already about 9.4, 9.5 millimeters thick, if I'm not wrong. And if you include the camera protrusion, it's above 10 millimeters for sure.
Right.
But to compensate, there's some custom optical image stabilization that Vivo has developed, which according to the company meets the CIPA level 4 standards. It's considered to be one of the most sort of, you know, a benchmark when it comes to optical image stabilization. But this is the first time I'm hearing something about it, to be honest. But then it, whether or not it is like, it reflects in real life, that I can tell you. For basically, I've used the gimbal tech in many other Vivo and iQOO phones, and in comparison, from what I've noticed, I don't know if this was a particular scene or not, but then there is noticeable difference is what I can tell you. And you get two modes, stabilization and ultra stabilization mode. The standard one sort of shoots at 1080 at 60 FPS as well, but the ultra one crops in a bit, which is obvious because the stabilization bit is just as a GoPro would do, wherein it would crop the frame so that the edges do not look as shaky. So that's the thing here. But then again, ultra stabilization works only at 4K 30 FPS and 1080p 30 FPS. You can also record videos at 8K 24 FPS, which is impressive. But again, there's no stabilization support for that.
Interesting. So overall, I mean, the performance of the 1-inch sensor, and I think the rear portrait camera, as per your review at least, are pretty good. I mean, I don't think you had many major complaints with those, right? And including even the selfie camera for most shots.
Correct. So let's start with the 1-inch camera sensor. Of course, you'll have to check our review on gadgets360.com to see the samples and then further understand what we're seeing. Again, 1-inch sensor, if this was like 2017, 2018, you would worry about shutter lag and stuff like that. But because the performance in general of the processors inside phones in general are getting so powerful, we barely notice any shutter lag despite having such a huge sensor.
Right.
So that is a major plus and something that Samsung may take notes for the upcoming Ultra smartphone that it launches. Yeah. Because the S23 Ultra, which we have mentioned in the review, there is noticeable shutter lag. And these are tiny things that hamper the experience, photography experience in general, because you are trying to capture a moment. And if it's in motion, chances are that you might miss that moment because of that shutter lag. So, or you might capture the next frame for that matter. So,
but then again, I just want to point out that the S23 Ultra does have a 200 megapixel sensor.
Correct.
Compared to a 50 megapixel.
Correct. So the resolution is higher, but then the sensor size in comparison is smaller. Although that sensor is not
Sensor, I mean, if you're talking about sensor size wise, yeah, sure. The one in the Vivo is definitely larger, but I'm just saying that it has to deal with a much higher resolution. The Samsung.
Correct. That's one point here. Again, coming to the day and night light, the low light performance, it's pretty good, honestly. I did not, Vivo, like I said, Vivo's X series has had the reputation of great photography experience, and it continues with the X90 Pro as well. Along with a quick shutter, despite having the shutter open for a very short time, it manages to capture a lot of details and light inside. It's night mode. There was barely any time wherein I required the night mode, dedicated night mode feature. Most of the photos that I captured in low light were shot in the with the standard photo mode, and it goes to show how impressive the tuning is with the one inch sensor. Mm-hmm. Of course, Vivo has its V2 ISP, which contributes further. It claims to perform a lot of algorithms within a microsecond or so that the performance can be basically translated in real time, and users do not have to wait for the image to get processed. So that's a plus. And we've seen the V2 chip in the iQOO 11 as well, which again, the review is live on gadgets360.com. Again, about the one inch sensor, I did not notice any noise in the shadows, which is sort of a weak link in most smartphone cameras these days. But again, that's all about the one inch sensor. You also get various filters which you can use in the portrait mode. The 50 megapixel Sony IMX758. You have six Zeiss filters, as in these are obviously software filters that the company is provided with by working with they've co-developed with Vivo's co-developed these filters with Zeiss, and the new addition this time around is the CineFlare feature. Now, because the phone has a T-star coating which ensures that there's no reflection when harsh light hits the lens, there are times when users might want that artificial flare to add to the aesthetics of a particular photo or frame in general. So for such photos, there's this CineFlare filter.
Okay, so you can simulate the flare, basically.
Sort of, yeah, exactly. So you can see that yellow or a blue curve around the subject. It's very aesthetically done. So that's a good thing. But what I did notice is sometimes, and this is not every time, obviously, sometimes the portrait mode photos, they often sort of, lost details in the shadows of the subject. When I say shadows of the subject, it's usually the darker areas. It's typically the hair, or if the person is wearing a dark colored, black color particularly, black colored dress or something, you'll see that, okay, it's a lot more darker and it is not as detailed. So that's one thing that I noticed. But then other than that, the rear camera performance is quite good. What I did not like is the ultra-wide camera's low-light performance. There is minimal distortion, yes. They've done the processing bit well. But that is in both day and night light, of course. But what I did notice is there's loss of details around the edges. And again, this, I don't know why, as to why did they specifically bring down the ultra-wide camera's resolution. But then that could be to just reserve it for the X90 Pro Plus, which again is not available in India as of now.
Or globally for that matter, yes.
So
it's not just the resolution sort of downgrade in the ultra wide, even the quality you're saying is not as good, because I remember the X80 Pro, I don't think we had any complaints about the ultra wide last year, I think when Sheldon reviewed that phone. But one more point I want to ask. I mean, the stabilization, you said Vivo says they've done an in-house custom OIS system. Mm-hmm. Is it? Did you find it to be effective enough? Because I remember Sheldon raving about the gimbal thing last year.
Yeah.
And he even put a sample in the review where he actually basically did a handheld time lapse in a pitch dark environment. And the picture was still very sharp and clear, and you could see the stars in the sky, and this was all handheld when typically you would need to put the phone on a tripod for this kind of a shot.
Correct.
So I thought that was pretty impressive. But how did you find the OIS or the stabilization in general for photos and video?
So I can tell you one thing, it's not as bad as you might think compared to gimbal. I mean, I okay. like the gimbal one better because when you're walking, that is a very basic thing to check. Like if you're walking and if you can see that the image is stabilized, it means that the hardware built inside plus the software tuning is quite good. But with the X90 Pro, what I did notice is there are some times, of course, this is not all the time. It depends on how fast you're moving primarily. But then I did notice that it's sort of, if to give you a comparison, I have the 13 Pro, the iPhone 13 Pro with me, and that uses sensor shift stabilization. This is on par with that, with the iPhone's stabilization, if I were to put it in a very comparative and a simple manner.
Okay,
unfortunately, I do not have the X80 Pro with me or any other Vivo phone with a gimbal stabilization support, but it is not to the mark, is what I can say based on my previous experience with Vivo's gimbal phones. But then again, it's not as bad either. It's like if gimbal was 9 on 10, this is sort of like 8 or 8.5 out of 10.
Okay, close enough, you would say.
Yeah.
Okay, so, okay, that's good. I mean, the cameras, it's good to know that the cameras are still pretty good. And like you said, it does, this phone does miss out on a periscope camera. But I think that's because there is another model in the series which does have it. And it's just that Vivo hasn't launched that anywhere else apart from China.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on to maybe other aspects, what are the, we'll maybe touch upon the positive parts. So what about the display and the performance? Maybe you can talk about that a bit.
Okay. Let's start with performance rather. The X90 series is the first flagship series to get the Dimensity 9200 in India. It's MediaTek's flagship chipset based on a 4-nanometer fabrication. Benchmark wise, while it is very powerful, but it sits slightly below the Snapdragon 8 Gen 2 on Antutu and Geekbench. That's what I noticed. And in our internal test as well, it shows that the Xiaomi 13 Pro, the OnePlus 11 and the iQOO 11, which come with the Snapdragon 8 Gen 2, have scored better in Antutu compared to the Vivo X90 Pro. So that's there. But again, when it comes to your regular performance, routine performance, you won't notice that difference. It's basically just a game of numbers when it comes to benchmarks. But in real life, what you would care about is a smooth and seamless user experience. And that is something that the phone does provide. I've used this phone for over a week, and I can tell you that I did not experience any issues. Like be it the routine social media scrolling or playing games. I've played Call of Duty with highest possible settings.
Right.
You can go up to max frame rate and max frame rate and
very
low graphics. Very high would be for a lower frame rate setting.
Okay.
But you can go for low graphics and max frame rates. So I think it's sort of a trade-off there, but then it is very well optimize when it comes to the gaming performance is what I can tell you. But one thing that I did notice is comparatively, this phone gets slightly warm very faster. Like for example, if a Snapdragon 8 Gen 2 phone would take about 30 minutes, this phone got warm in about 20 minutes of gameplay. So, and this time it's not even about the phone being too thin or something like that. It's fairly thick. It's fairly tall as well. It has a 6.78 inch display. So the form factor too is not a problem. So I don't know what exactly the issue is here, because it's a 4-nanometer chip. You often expect it to offer great power efficiency as well. So I don't know if this was particularly only my unit or others too have reported about the same. We will of course have to wait for a few more days before seeing if users too are experiencing the same issue.
Also I think to know for sure, I guess we'll have to wait for maybe other phones to have this SoC, so we can know maybe if it's a thing with this Dimensity chip, or if it's just something that Vivo has done or not done. But what I found interesting is that even the X90, which is like 20 grand cheaper, has the same SoC, which I found very interesting.
Correct. And it sort of is I don't, last year it, there was this differentiation wherein if you want the absolute best, we'll give you the best chipset, and the other one, you get a slightly inferior chipset. But again, when I say inferior, it's in comparison and not generally, because the Dimensity
inferior chipset, is a bit of a harsh word. I mean, it's just it's
less powerful. I think that would be the right word here. But then this time around, both the phones get the same chipset, and the Snapdragon 8 Gen 2 is reserved for the X90 Pro Plus in China.
So
that's there. But then again, like I said, as a general user, you do not need to worry about the phone not being able to perform it any of your routine tasks, because it does that, all of that, very smoothly. And it's quite battery efficient as well, because in our HD video loop test, the phone got about 18 hours and 12 minutes of screen on time, which is quite impressive. It's not the absolute best. The iQOO 11 scored better with its slightly bigger 5000 mAh battery. This one has a 4870 mAh battery. So
it's not bad for the battery capacity. It's still pretty decent, and the SoC and the higher res display and everything.
Correct. And speaking of display, it has a 6.78 inch sort of 1.5 or 2K. It would be a 2K display going by the resolution numbers.
2K would be 1440p.
It's sort of between 1.5.
Yeah, it's 1.5 is what 2K. A lot of phones are doing roughly.
But Vivo has sort of brought down the resolution from QHD plus to WKHD plus to 1.5, or what the company calls Full HD.
Yeah, I don't know why they're calling it Full HD plus even on the website, which is strange.
Yeah,
so not Full HD plus.
Yeah, so that is sort of confusing. But but then again, there's one downgrade on paper, but then I consume most of my content in Full HD. I do not ever switch to WQHD plus, because again, that's consumes a lot more battery in comparison, and you do not get to see a major difference. But then again, having that option for a few shows, for example, there are times when you're watching something with a very dark scene on Netflix or any other OTT platform, switching to a higher resolution often sort of, you know, helps get better details on the screen. The other point is, again, this one has HDR10 Plus and Wideband L1. So that's, you've got yourself covered there. But one sort of, again, this is a technical comparison here between the X80 and the X90 Pro. The display does not refresh
dynamically.
Again, the X80 Pro came with an LTPO display. This one misses out on LTPO.
That's a real shame, actually, because if I'm not mistaken, that was one of the first phones with an LTPO 3.0 panel.
Correct.
And so, the fact that this one doesn't even have even basic LTPO tech is quite disappointing. Again, they have reserved LTPO for the X90 Pro Plus. So, as you can clearly see, this was never really meant to replace the X80 Pro. But now, because we don't have the Plus model anywhere, and this is the flagship for all intents and purposes, and it's even priced equivalently to the X80 Pro, it's essentially now its successor, even though technically it's not, like, it's, if you know what I mean, you know?
Yeah, price-wise, it replaces the X80 Pro.
Exactly,
There's a 5,000 rupees difference between the two. So I don't know how to call, if I can correctly call this as a successor, because again, going by hardware, the X90 Pro Plus is the true successor.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's sort of a tricky thing right now to understand. We hope that the X90 Pro Plus comes to India, or globally for that matter, for us to have better clarity if it is actually a successor to the X80 Pro.
Or no, it would be, right? I mean, if you look at the specs, it is very obvious that it is a definite successor to the Pro. I mean, there is no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing which happened previously, last year as well, where, there was this huge confusion when they only launched the X80 and then they canceled the X80 Pro Plus. But then if you looked at the X80 Pro and compared it with the specs of the X70 Pro Plus, it was very obvious that that was actually a successor. They just changed the naming. And once again, they've gone back to this Plus naming, and I don't know why they keep doing this, but anyway, it's confusing. So back to the phone, I think we've talked about the display, we've talked about performance and the cameras. Anything else you want to highlight, Pranav?
It's
got an IP68 rating.
Correct. Yeah, it's got an IP68 rating, so you get water and dust resistance for up to 30 minutes underwater, 1 meter of water. So that's a good thing. So if you want to click photos in the rain or put it, the phone like underwater,
right,
you can do that. Again, that is something like is sort of suitable for photographers who want to basically go out in the wild and shoot stuff regardless of what the weather conditions are. So that's a good thing. But one thing that again, the another plus point here is that Android 13 based FunTouch OS 13 runs very smoothly.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so software is very good. I mean, it's well optimized, well tuned. I barely noticed any major, rather, in fact, there was no lag here. So that's a very good thing to see that, okay, the software is well tuned. What I sort of want Vivo to work on is, you know, add another year of software support, because getting 3 years of Android updates and not even an extra year of security support that typically companies provide, it's just 3+3. Companies have moved to 4+5 now, so it's not as competitive, you would say. And then at the same time, it doesn't, like, comparatively the competition then offers better value. If it's just a year, I know, but then
but sometimes that can make a big difference, because what if there is some major changes in a new version of Android that benefits, you know, battery life and stuff like that, then you will miss out on these things.
So that is something that I hope that they work on, if not this, hopefully the next flagship or the upcoming phone, whatever they decide to call it.
Yeah.
But that's there. Again, the software features and experience in general, it's detailed in the review. So
what
check
about
that
bloatware
out.
And pre-installed notification spam or anything? Did you face any of that?
Not as much, surprisingly. There is the Vee App Store, but then it is probably because I did not open it that I did not see any major spam from it. But then there are a few bloatware apps, some of which might be essential enough for you. But then there were a couple of games which I did not ever hear about, but then they were there.
Pre-installed games.
Yeah. There were these pre-installed games which were there.
Okay.
And you can, of course, uninstall these apps. So that's there. That's all about the software, of course. But then what I can tell you is FunTouch OS, software preferences are very subjective, of course.
Right.
But FunTouch OS is very underrated when it comes to animations and basically customization options. So if you do get a chance, go visit any retail store or Vivo stores and just check the various settings for customizations and personalizations that you can get. People often criticize FunTouch OS for being very dull, but then if you actually want to customize your experience, software experience, you do get the option here. So if you get a chance, do go to a retail store and just experience, or just if your friend or someone you know has a Vivo phone, just check if you can go through the settings. That's one. I'll switch to the downsides now. I mean, we've already spoken about the ultra-wide bit here, the ultra-wide camera being slightly inferior in comparison. But there's another downgrade here when it comes to the experience, the front camera experience.
Okay.
Now this is something very unusual for a Vivo phone, because Vivo phones in general are known to capture better selfies overall compared to the rear camera in general. And the Vivo V series is the hero typically for selfies at an affordable price. The X series, of course, sits at the top, so it has to offer a more versatile camera experience. But with the X90 Pro, what I did notice is that edge detection is a problem. And of course, it uses software for subject segmentation, wherein the software sort of creates a layout around the subject, a cutout around the subject, and blurs out the rest of the part.
This is you're talking about when using portrait mode for the selfie camera.
Correct. So what happened many a times rather is that the software either missed blurring out a part near my face or my body in general, or it blurred out parts of my body or my face primarily. My ears were blurred, parts of the chin were blurred. So I did not, I'm sort of surprised to see this in a Vivo phone, to be honest. But then when it comes to colors in general, and details. Of course, there is a bit of smoothening despite disabling the beauty mode filters, but the colors are quite good. They are not like 100% accurate, but then these, it would be something that you typically see on social media, wherein there's a little bit of vibrancy added so that the colors sort of pop up and they look good and sort of pleasing to the eye in general. So yeah, that is one negative, and I hope a software update in the future can fix this, because this seems like a fixable issue. Because again, the front camera does not have any dedicated portrait lens or anything. It's just using software to basically create that cutout.
Right.
That I think is all about the X90 Pro.
Okay, so let's maybe then discuss about where it sits in Vivo's portfolio and in general in the premium segment. So there's only one version of this phone, as we discussed in the beginning of the podcast, and it is priced at 84,999 rupees. Although if you do pre-book it now, there are some cashback offers and stuff, so you can get it for lesser.
77.
If you're doing the pre-booking thing.
Yeah, around 77.
Yeah, but for 85,000 essentially, Pranav, would you recommend that someone buy the X90 Pro?
Again, it depends on the use case primarily, but then obviously if you're looking at a Vivo X series phone, you're someone who likes or wants good photographs in general. And the good thing here is that the camera app experience too, which we often, people in general don't take notice of, but then the camera UI itself is quite clean and well, it's rather very user friendly. You can easily find these options. So if you want something, if you want a good camera experience, maybe you can consider getting the X90 Pro, but you also got to factor in that it's not the best, it does not have the best ultra wide camera, and that does not make it a very bad ultra wide camera, but then again the competition offers a better experience there, which can be useful for your landscape photos primarily. So if you're shooting something in a very tight frame,
right,
you might want to switch to ultra wide.
I think more than the competition, I mean, yeah, like you said, and the Xiaomi 13 Pro also offers a very compelling package for 79,999. I think the only thing it misses out on is an official IP rating in India, that too. But I think the global variants, from what I think Xiaomi themselves have confirmed on Twitter, one of the representatives at least saying that, you know, the Indian variant is just as waterproof as the global variants. It just doesn't have that rating. Right.
Yeah.
Apart from the 13 Pro, I think if you look at the X80 Pro, I think that just looks like a much better value deal to me, at least personally, right now. Because at 80,000 rupees, I mean, it's around 5,000 rupees lesser than the latest version. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're getting last year's chipset, but it's not like an inferior chipset. But everything else, like in all the other areas, it does have a slight leg up over the X90. Like the display is slightly better because you get LTPO tech in it, you get a higher resolution on it. Battery is slightly smaller, but comparative. Battery life was still relatively good, I think.
Yeah.
Cameras were better in the sense, at least the ultra wide was better, and that you get a fourth periscope camera, so your telephoto experience would be better. You'll be able to, you know, zoom in a lot better and get clearer shots at higher zoom ranges. So that is another bonus.
Yep.
And you know, it too had an IP rating, wireless charging, and everything that basically the X90 Pro has.
And also an ultrasonic fingerprint scanner. I know it's not a deal breaker, but then it's so much convenient. Yeah, and it's so much convenient compared to the optical fingerprint scanner that you get on the X90 Pro. Again, that is not bad, but then again, you never say no to more. So
you're right. I think in that respect, I think in the X90 Pro doesn't really feel like a very good value package, especially when you compare it to the X80 Pro, which for all intents and purposes it does replace in India, because we can't really consider the X90 Pro Plus because it doesn't exist anywhere outside China. I think that's there. I mean, is there anything else that comes to mind apart from what's, let's say, the Xiaomi 13 Pro was a good alternative? Any other phone that gives it a good competition? I think the Pixel you mentioned.
Yeah, there's a Google Pixel 7 Pro. Again, it's not as versatile in comparison when it comes to the software features. But then again, when I say software features, I mean the various filters and modes that the Vivo X90 Pro provides. Of course, Google Pixel 7 Pro has its own share of party tricks. Basically, it has this 5x optical sensor, and it has a high resolution optical sensor, by the way, 48 megapixel sensor. And based on the review that you can check on Gadget 360, you can see that it is quite a good camera. The overall camera setup in general is quite good. You have a 50 megapixel main sensor, you have a 12 megapixel ultra wide, and a 48 megapixel telephoto. The only downside is you only get 12 GB, which again is more than enough, but you only get 128 GB of storage in India. That's quite an odd combination if you ask me, but then if you are providing a flagship with support for recording up to 4K and stuff like that, you better provide at least 256 GB. I know we have cloud storage and Google One options here in India, but then that doesn't make a lot of sense when there's no internet in certain areas. But then you also have the S23 series. Now the S23 Plus is a lot more expensive compared to the X90 Pro or the Xiaomi 13 Pro or the Google Pixel 7 Pro. It costs about 95K for the base model.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but then again, you get a you also have the S23, which is cheaper than what we just spoke about.
Yeah.
It's a lot more affordable. It's at 74K if I'm not wrong, 74 or 75K if I'm not wrong, and for the price, apart from a smaller display and battery, you get everything that you get on the Plus model, the S23 Plus, that is.
Yeah.
Again, the review of the S23 is live on gadgets360.com. So you can basically go through each of these reviews to basically understand which phone rather is perfect for your use case. And don't go by the numbers, please. Just analyze what your use case is and decide what phone is the best one for you. If you want to check the X90 Pro, do check the camera samples as well, which will help you understand how the phone performs in both day and low light scenarios.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, I think, you know, rather than just having a budget in mind and picking whatever fits in that, I think you really should analyze what are your use cases, what do you want from your new phone? Like, are you going to be watching a lot of videos more? Are you going to be using the cameras more? And I think based on that, you can make an informed decision, because these days, I mean, I think in general, I think most phones above 50 or even 60,000 these days, you can't go wrong with any of them. I don't think there's any bad phone, right? Whether it's display or performance, I mean, or even the cameras.
Yeah, but then we've not even spoken about this phone, the OnePlus 11. It right. offers so much better value. Of course, the camera system is not as versatile. Yeah. It does not have the fancy features or the filters and stuff that Vivo provides. But then you do get the Hasselblad touch with the OnePlus 11. Of course, that's a different segment altogether.
I think that would compete more with the X90 probably.
Correct.
Then.
Correct. Yeah. And but then again, it's a different segment altogether. And if you're considering buying the X90, you can also check how the OnePlus 11 performs. Royden himself has reviewed the phone.
Yeah.
So you can definitely check the review on gadgets360.com.
Yeah, hopefully maybe if we ever do get the X90 and we do review it, probably we can do another podcast talking about that and its competitors.
Definitely.
But yeah, I think this was a pretty good discussion. I think we've covered all the points of the X90 Pro. If you want to read the full review, please go ahead and check it out on gadgets360.com. We also have an unboxing and like a first look video if you want to watch something rather than read. So you can find that on YouTube as well as our website. And I think that's about it. Thanks. Thank you so much, Pranav, for joining in today.
Pleasure's all mine, Royden. Thank you.
Okay. I think that's about it for this episode of Orbital. Don't forget to follow us. We are available on all major podcast platforms. And for all things tech, don't forget to check out gadgets360.com. Thanks for listening.